With your money briefing, I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal. A new Wells Fargo survey finds many U.S. workers worry that they won't have enough money for retirement past the age of 85. J.R. Whalen will have our interview with Wells Fargo Asset Management's Frederick Axeter. First, here are some money headlines. Seattle's once hot housing market is slumping. Seattle's been the sole home of Amazon.com, but it will soon be one of three headquarters for the e-commerce giant. That and other factors are soaking real estate prices in the famously rainy city. The number of unsold homes in Washington State's King County has doubled in just a year and nearly tripled for condominiums, according to the Seattle Times. In the city of Seattle itself, median home prices are down by a whopping $80,000 since the spring. Though it is no consolation for people trying to sell, we should say that Seattle is still an expensive place to live. The total number of U.S. companies going public has fallen by 50% over the last 20 years. Is this bad for the economy? Stacy Cunningham, the chief operating officer of the New York Stock Exchange, thinks it is. She spoke at the Wall Street Journal's Tech DLive conference in Laguna Beach, California.
I'm concerned about it. It leads to a bifurcation of wealth in this nation. The companies that are coming to the markets and growing are raising money so that they can scale their products and services and make them available to the masses and not just the few with means. So they can do that in the private markets. But investors don't get to share in their success if they're the everyday investor. So if they stay private longer, it means that once they come to the market, they've already had their massive growth trajectory. And that's when investors can, the everyday investor can come in. And so our concern is that we're creating a market structure that is really good for large investors and large companies, and less good for small to mid-size investors and small to mid-size companies.
Cunningham says the benefits of being a public company outweigh the obligations. For more on the DLive conference, head to WSJ.com. Still ahead, a new survey finds workers fear living into old age means financial hardship. J.R. Whalen will have the interview with Wells Fargo's Frederick Axeter. This is your Money Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Who doesn't want to live a nice long life? But about 40% of people surveyed for this year's Wells Fargo retirement study say living past age 85 would be a financial hardship. Frederick Axeter is head of strategic business segments at Wells Fargo Asset Management and has some ideas on how Americans can better prepare for retirement and perhaps live comfortably past age 85. So, Frederick, one of the hallmarks of this year's retirement study is that people should have a retirement planning mindset. What does that entail?
It means that you should have a combination of both short-term and long-term financial goals. And when you do that, and it's entails answering yes, you know, feeling comfortable answering yes to a series of four questions, you see some extraordinary results.
What are those four questions?
It's both having a financial plan long term. It looks at one to two year horizon, and also making sure that you're looking at kind of on a month to month budget and meeting that budget as well. And when you do that, you have three times the savings levels. You have you're twice as likely to say that you thrive, and also 42% less likely to say that you're undergoing significant financial stress.
Was there a particular result from the survey that surprised you?
There were actually two things that surprised me, and they both have. It's about 70% of investors that first of all say that's they want help, you know, and so there's. You know, there is a great demand from investors. And also the most important thing for them to get help with, again, 70% of investors are saying this, is to not run out of money in retirement.
And in the results of this study, having a planning mindset seems to be very crucial, especially among higher earners.
Yeah, I think that having the planning mindset is actually important across all age cohorts and across all income levels. So today, it's about 35% of people that have a planning mindset. And I think that the main goal for our entire industry is to get more and more people into that planning mindset.
35% seems low.
I agree. So we need to get more people into that. And I think that the key is to make it easier to do that. And one of the key ways of doing that is to is through defined contribution plans. 92% of investors say that if you have, you know, a defined contribution plan or access to one, that it makes them, you know, come closer to their financial goals. They're more secure that way.
And that could really be in the form of a pension or 401k, and it's really up to a person to understand the benefits of those two types of retirement plans.
Nowadays, it's less and less of a choice. The traditional pension plans are going away, and defined contribution plans are becoming the norm. So I think it's actually important for defined contribution plans to become more like the traditional pensions, to provide people with a higher and more predictable income in retirement.
One of the parts of the study that jumped out at me was the accumulated savings by generation. And it seems like the younger generation, it's imperative for them to understand the benefits of these retirement plans, but also the benefits of having some sort of a regular savings discipline along the way.
In many ways, the younger generation, the millennials, they have benefited from the defined contribution plans. They're automatically enrolled when you join a firm, whereas and many of the olders, kind of the baby boomers, they have traditional pensions. The Generation X, they fell in between. We kind of refer to them as the sandwich generation. And that's where we see the greatest priority in terms of helping them. They have less of Generation Xers that have this planning mindset.
And that's part of the generation stress that was brought up in the study?
Yes, that's exactly right. And so I think that there's still time to help them get the retirement that they want to have. But there is an urgency there. And in fact, even more so with Generation X women.
So that segment of Generation X seems to have fallen through the cracks more significantly than men.
For women, it's also that they may have been out of the workforce. They may have started saving later. In fact, Generation X in general has on average started saving 6 years after millennials. So, you know, in part, it's because women are expected to live longer. We need to do more, you know, for women. And today, the average account balance for women in Generation X is about three-quarters of men. There's more that we can do.
And in the study, it says that just under half of millennials say the 401k will be their primary financial source for paying expenses in retirement. That's compared to 25% of baby boomers. But 50%, roughly 50% of the millennials, that's a good number. It'd be good to have that higher.
And I expect that to be higher. And I actually think that this is one where there's a difference also between the reported numbers that we see here and the actual numbers. Now, there are a number of millennials that are invested in a 401k plan or a defined contribution plan. They may not even know it because it happens automatically. So I think that the millennial or generation is in some ways better off than they may even think.
You speak about digital assistance in the Wells Fargo retirement study. What's the value that brings to someone who is trying to plan out a retirement mindset?
The goal, overall overriding goal, is to get more and more people into the planning mindset and make that as easy as possible. Having a digital assistant can be, you know, very helpful, you know, and especially those that they're more technologically savvy. But even millennials are saying that, you know, an A-plus advisor is one that meets with them twice a year. So I think it's a combination of digital advice and also in-person meetings.
Now, some of these digital assistants and these online tools can be complicated, a little intimidating for people who could be fairly new to the idea of planning out retirement. So I guess that would add value to enlisting someone that they can actually have a face-to-face conversation with.
It's that combination of easily accessible, easy-to-use tools, and then having the in-person advice is the most powerful combination of helping people succeed and have the retirement they want to have.
And what was the impact of the Great Recession, the 2008-2009 recession, on people's ability to plan retirement?
People still carry some scars. Back to Generation X, they see the most significant impact of that of the recession. So I think we need to continue to emphasize the power of compounding, the power of staying in the markets, and the power of a long-term approach. But we should recognize that that many people today, about a quarter of people, are still scarred by the financial recession.
All right. That's Frederick Axeter, head of strategic business segments at Wells Fargo Asset Management. Frederick, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.